This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is on vacation. The president and his secretary of defense have been fielding some tough questions this week regarding the administration's justification for the war against Iraq. During a brief stopover in Botswana yesterday, President Bush was asked about the following statement he made during his State of the Union address in January.
The International Atomic Energy Agency confirmed in the 1990s that Saddam Hussein had an advanced nuclear weapons development program, had a design for a nuclear weapon, and was working on five different methods of enriching uranium for a bomb. The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
The administration now acknowledges that the intelligence on Iraq's effort to purchase uranium was based on questionable evidence. But the president insists he has no regrets about his decision to go to war and said he remains confident that Saddam Hussein had a weapons of mass destruction program. On Capitol Hill yesterday, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld also fielded questions about whether the administration misled the country about Iraq's chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons programs. Rumsfeld tread carefully around the question of new intelligence on such programs.
The coalition did not act in Iraq because we had discovered dramatic new evidence of Iraq's pursuit of weapons of mass murder. We acted because we saw the existing evidence in a new light through the prism of our experience on September 11th.
So far, no weapons of mass destruction have been found in Iraq. NPR's national security correspondent Tom Jelton is joining us in a couple of moments to discuss the questions surrounding Iraq's weapons programs, and we want to hear from you. What's your reaction to the new revelations about the intelligence the administration used? Do you think the war in Iraq was justified with or without clear evidence on Iraq's weapons programs? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Later this hour, we'll be talking about the effort to stop the proliferation of small arms around the world. Did you know there are 639 million small weapons circulating around the world, and over 40% of them are illegally held? But first, NPR's national security correspondent Tom Jelton joins us now in Studio 3A. Thanks for being with us, Tom.
Hi, Lynn.
Let's start with the issue of Iraq's nuclear program. What has the administration claimed, and what have we now learned?
Well, Lynn, the administration, as you heard from George Bush, claimed that Saddam Hussein really wanted to get his hands on a nuclear bomb and was determined to do that, was working actively right up to the end to do that. The evidence, apart from the claim that Iraq had tried to buy uranium from Africa. The other evidence that was brought out to in support of that was a finding that Iraq had attempted to purchase, was wanting to purchase some high specification aluminum tubes that were to be used, allegedly, according to the administration, in a centrifuge to produce enriched uranium. That evidence actually as well has been challenged. I won't say it's been discredited because there are different opinions about it, but the IAEA, whom the president quoted, said it concluded that Iraq did not intend to use those tubes for centrifuge purposes. So that piece of evidence has been questioned as well. In addition, they have claimed that Saddam Hussein had a group of nuclear scientists who had represented within themselves the expertise to develop a nuclear weapon, and that the way that he had sort of managed this cadre of scientists over the years, keeping them together as a group, giving them a lot of privileges, keeping their work very secret, also suggested that Saddam was trying to develop a nuclear weapon. Now, they've never said that he had a nuclear weapon. They've said he was trying to develop one, but as we have found out, some of the evidence that they've used to support that argument has been seriously questioned.
Yeah, and also Secretary of State Colin Powell appeared at the United Nations and also laid out a great deal of intelligence. What have we learned that supports or challenges the allegations that Powell made during that appearance?
Well, Secretary Powell, in February, as you say, went before the Security Council because this was a time when the United States was trying to get as much international support for a war against Iraq as it could. And he laid out a very dramatic assortment of evidence, some of which was highly classified, that they had to declassify for this, a combination of reports from human sources, satellite imagery, and intercepts. And it was all in order to make the argument that Iraq was concealing its efforts to produce weapons of mass destruction. Again, there, though, some of the claims that were made have been, it seems now that they were pushed a little bit. One of the things that's interesting is Secretary Powell played a tape of an intercepted conversation between two Republican Guard officers. And it appeared from what he played or from the translation that Secretary Powell provided that they were talking about the arrival of some weapons inspectors. And Secretary Powell quoted them in this intercepted tape as one officer saying, they are inspecting the ammunition you have, yes? And the other officer says, yes, for the possibility there are forbidden ammo. For the possibility there is, by chance, forbidden ammo, yes. And we sent you a message yesterday to clean out all the areas, the scrap areas, the abandoned areas. Make sure there is nothing there. That's the part that Secretary Powell read. Yet when the State Department finally produced the actual transcript of this, it came out different. The last line was, and we sent you a message to inspect the scrap areas and the abandoned areas. Apparently he didn't actually say clean out the areas. And there's no evidence that he said, make sure there is nothing there. So that's one example. Secretary Powell also made the allegation that that from human sources that Iraq, the Saddam Hussein regime, had been moving missiles into Western Iraq loaded with biological warfare agents. He said, while we are here in this council chamber debating Resolution 1441 last fall, we know from sources that a missile brigade outside Baghdad was dispersing rocket launchers and warheads containing biological warfare agent to various locations, distributing them to various locations in Western Iraq. Well, U.S. forces have now been in Western Iraq for 3.5 months, Lynn, and still have found no evidence of those launchers allegedly loaded with biological warfare agents.
I found it really interesting the way Rumsfeld put it yesterday when he said that they didn't go to war based on new intelligence, but a kind of a reinterpretation of what they had already known. Maybe you can parse that for us a bit.
Well, Secretary Rumsfeld is a very sharp man, and he knows that a lot of this intelligence has been questioned. He knows that people in the intelligence community have said that the intelligence was exaggerated, misrepresented in order to support policy aims. So Secretary Rumsfeld is making a very interesting defense of their performance by saying, as you quoted him, that it's not just the hard evidence, but it's also sort of the inferences that you need to draw on the basis of the evidence that you had. He said, after 9/11, we looked at evidence through a whole different prism. And that's a very rational, very reasonable thing to say. The question, of course, that is now being debated is how far should policymakers go in drawing inferences, in connecting dots where maybe the evidence doesn't automatically suggest that those dots should be connected?
Is the administration saying it was a mistake to include the assertion that Iraq was trying to buy uranium from Africa in the President's State of the Union address now that we know that that was based on certainly questionable evidence?
Well, it's interesting, Lynn, that it took the administration so long to acknowledge this. As you say, the White House just this week said now that it was a mistake to include that last line that you played at the top. But Secretary Powell, in an interview with BBC this week, said that he did not include that charge when he spoke to the United Nations in February because he had questions about its legitimacy, about its validity. So if Secretary Powell had concerns about that way back in February, 1 week after the president made his State of the Union address, it is notable that it took all these months for the White House to acknowledge finally that maybe it wasn't so so credible.
We're talking with NPR's Tom Jolton about what the White House knew or didn't know about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction before deciding to go to war against Iraq. And if you'd like to join the discussion, it's 800-989-8255. Let's take a call from Robert in Minneapolis. Hi, Robert.
Well, this is Rob Berger.
Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
I have been listening to Ambassador Joe Wilson, who said that he was the ambassador who had informed the State Department and the CIA about the documents had been forged, that he believed the documents had been forged for the evidence about uranium going to Iraq. And, I mean, this was an ambassador who was under George Bush Sr. And, I'm looking at this and going, how does this administration deal with evidence and make conclusions in general? I disagree. I really don't think that the war was an essential war. I think it was wrong. And the thing that I'm getting a sense of is that they had a conclusion and were using evidence to get to the place they wanted to go.
Which is a number of critics are making that same point, Robert. Let me see if Tom can respond to your comment first.
Well, the context of the claim about getting uranium from Africa was, as we said, that the United States was convinced, and I think remains convinced, that Saddam Hussein really did want to develop a nuclear weapon. And in fact, there is evidence going back into the 80s that's very substantial that Saddam was serious in this effort. And the one thing that he really needed was enriched uranium. He needed a source of fissile material. So if you approach this as a detective, he certainly had the motive to go after uranium. And I think it's because he so clearly did have a motive to try to acquire uranium, perhaps, that the administration found it entirely reasonable to think that this allegation, this idea that he tried to buy it in Africa, made sense.
Robert's call certainly reflects the opinion of a number of people who were critical of the war to begin with, critical of the administration. But at the same time, it seems like, whereas in Britain, the controversy over this kind of the intelligence is causing big problems for Prime Minister Tony Blair, it doesn't seem to be causing such problems for George Bush.
I think the explanation for that is a political one, Lynn. And as you very well know, I don't cover Congress or politics, so I'm sort of on thin ice here. But I think the big difference between the United States and Britain in this regard is that that Tony Blair is a member of the Labour Party, leader of the Labour Party, and the Labour Party feels entirely free, members of the Labour Party feel entirely free to criticize him. It's not, the politics are just entirely different. In this country, with George Bush being at the moment a very popular president and having both houses of Congress controlled by his own party, the Republicans, and Democrats feeling very nervous about being seen as not supportive of the president in this war campaign, I think that the big difference is that the Democrats in this country have not in a sense, dared to make as much of an issue of this as Tony Blair's own Labour Party has been willing to make of it in Britain.
How important is it that weapons of mass destruction are found in Iraq?
I think it's very important. I think that one of the reasons that it's important, the main reason it's important now, is precisely because the U.S. troops are in such trouble in Iraq, a lot of attacks and concerns about how long U.S. troops are going to be there. You combine that with concerns about weapons of mass destruction, you might have a credibility problem.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Tom.
Anytime, Lynn.
Tom Jolton is NPR's national security correspondent. When we come back, we'll be talking about small arms proliferation. We're taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.